well. I'm going to read Isaiah 9. I'm going to read these words, which are really familiar to you now, because they were the words that have been on the screen for the last number of minutes. It's that verse from Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Just to give you a little background to these words. The book of Isaiah was written approximately 700 years before the first Christmas. It was a prophecy, it was a vision that was given to Isaiah in dark days. The country, the land of Judah, was in a mess because the people's sin, their rebellion against God, bad leaders who weren't following God's ways, and spiritually the land was in darkness. And then God gives this prophecy of what is to be, this promise of a Messiah who would come and change things. There would be light into darkness. And it's a prophecy about a child, a rescuer who would come. And this is what we have in these familiar words from Isaiah 9. Let me read them again to you. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. Over the last few weeks, we've been thinking of these incredible descriptions of Jesus Christ. So 2 weeks ago, we thought about Wonderful Counselor, what that meant. Last Sunday morning, we thought about Mighty God. And this week, we want to unpack this incredible title, Everlasting Father. Now, that might seem, when you hear that, there's a mistake here. This is a really, really strange title to give to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How can God the Son be described as the Everlasting Father? Have they made some mistake? Is there a contradiction in here? Does Isaiah not fully understand the Trinity? You know, a thing that's hard for all of us to understand, but we believe in one God and three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So how can God the Son be God the Father? Is there no distinction in the Trinity? Are they not distinct people, even though there's one God? This is not a mistake. As Isaiah speaks these words of prophecy here in Isaiah 9, he's not making a reference to the position within the Godhead. There is one God and three distinct people. The Son is not the Father, and the Father is definitely not the Son. Rather, what we've got here in this great prophecy is it's got an image. It's an image that conveys the character of who this Messiah will be. The old hymn puts it really well. I think this is a good way to unpack what we're thinking about when we describe Jesus as the Everlasting Father. The old hymn is this: Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. You might be familiar with these words. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. To his feet your tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like you his praise should sing? And this is obviously a hymn that's all about Jesus Christ. He is the King of Heaven. He's the one who stepped into this world to ransom us, to pay the price for our sin. He comes to heal us, he comes to restore us, and he comes to forgive us. And he is worthy of our praise. So this is a great hymn all about Jesus. And if you come down into the third verse, it says this: Father-like, he tends and spares us. All our hopes and fears he knows. In his hands, he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes. And so what this hymn's trying to unpack is it's the character of Jesus Christ, how he deals with his followers. Well, he treats us the way a father, a good father, would care for his children and protect them and gently bear them up. You know, the child who falls and picks them up and puts them up on the shoulder, comforts them. That's how Jesus Christ is with his followers. He is father-like in his care and his compassion. And I really think the emphasis here of this third description in Isaiah 9 is the character of Jesus Christ. He's like a father. Now, we shouldn't be surprised that God the Son, Jesus Christ, acts like God the Father. Because when Jesus Christ came into the world, as he was born in Bethlehem, as he grew up into a man, he was the perfect revelation of God, of the perfect revelation of God the Father. So if people would ask, what is God like? You look to Jesus. And so Jesus Christ said these words in John 14, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is the perfect revelation. You want to know what God the Father is like? Look to Jesus. Because in their character, yes, they're distinct persons of the Godhead, but in their character, in the way they act, in the way they treat us, you've seen Jesus Christ, you've seen the Father. And then in John 10, he says, I and the Father are one. And so we shouldn't be surprised that God the Son reflects and displays the characteristics of God the Father. I actually think here, as we come into this, and we want to unpack it tonight, a father is a wonderful image to describe Jesus Christ. A father is a wonderful image, but maybe not for everyone. Some people, sadly, don't have a good and a gracious father like God. Sadly, there are too many human fathers who are maybe distant in their relationship with their children. Sadly, there are human fathers who are absent, who've gone AWOL, who've walked out on their family. There are earthly fathers who are uncaring. There's earthly fathers who are cruel, who are unreliable, who are selfish as well. Our society, sadly, is full of bad examples of what a father should be like. And so for some people, maybe as they come to Isaiah 9, and Jesus is described as an everlasting father, the word father doesn't resonate good and positive and wholesome thoughts to their minds. This is an image which is difficult to grasp. But no matter what your experience is, if you have had a bad and a negative experience of what a father is like, that is not true of Jesus Christ. Because do you know who Jesus Christ is? Jesus Christ is the everlasting Father. And actually, a good way to describe Jesus Christ is he is the perfect Father. You want to know what the perfect Father looks like? Look at Jesus Christ. He acts in the way that a good father should towards his followers. He's a father, a perfect father, who is full of love in all of his ways towards all of his children. He's a perfect father in his care towards his children, towards his followers. He's a perfect father in the way he protects us as well. Everything you ever dreamed a father could be, Jesus is and will be for you if you trust him as your Lord and your Savior. A good father loves his children. Last night I was in the SSE Arena in Belfast, the old Odyssey as it was called. We were there for a concert, Joanne and I, and it was a Christmas carol concert. And the reason we were there is because our youngest daughter, Molly, was singing in the choir. It was hard to spot her. There was 1,000 primary school kids singing in the Odyssey last night. And so what was the first thing we did when we sat down in our seats? Where is our child? There's all these faces out there. We want to pick our child out. And through the rest of the night, as these children stood up at different times to sing their carols, I wasn't interested in anybody else's child. Okay? They might have been great children. They might have been great singers. The only one who I have any interest in was my flesh and blood, my child. Now, I have three children, three daughters. And I like them all the same, and no matter which one was up there, I would have focused my eyes on them. I have three children of my own. I like children. I'm involved in children's ministry here in the church. I like children. But there's only three children who have my heart. And what makes the difference? It's that relationship. I am their father. Yes, I might like other children because I like children. But three have my heart. They have my love and my care because they are my children. Do you know what? If you're a parent here tonight, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You might like children. You might like the children here tonight, but it's different for your own. On Friday, I was sitting down in my study at home. I was starting to do some final prep for this sermon that was going to preach tonight on a perfect father. And as I sat down with lots of work to do, I received a phone call from Josie's school in Belfast to tell me that Josie was sick. And could I come, drive into Belfast, and pick her up and bring her home? I didn't have to think about that. I didn't have to speak back on the phone and go, well, actually, I'm sitting here, I'm really busy at the moment. I'm writing a sermon on what a good father should be like, and it's a bit inconvenient at the moment, and so I'll pick her up when it suits me. No, you don't do that. Why? Because you're actually concerned, you're worried, you're anxious. You know, how's she feeling? What state is she in? And it's not a case of taking my time, you know, I'll finish a few jobs around the house and I'll pockle along and I'll get there. No, you get there as fast as legally possible because you're worried and you're concerned for your child because that's what a good father thinks towards their child. Jesus Christ loves his followers the way a father loves his child. Psalm 103 puts it really nicely. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Those who fear him, who acknowledge him, who have trusted him as their Lord and their Savior. The Lord shows compassion towards his children. Think of the relationship between a good father, and I stress that, a good father and his children. What does he do? Well, he loves them. He protects them. That's a role of a father, to guard them. He nurtures them. He disciplines them. He doesn't discipline other people's children. Sometimes you feel like doing that, don't you? But you don't discipline other people's children. That's not your responsibility. And you discipline your children, even though they don't always appreciate it or like it or want it. Why do you do that? Because you want to train them up in the way that they should go. You know that even though at times it is difficult for them, you want to set them on the right path in life. You want what's best as they live out their lives. That's what a good father does. They don't neglect that. A good father provides for their children. And so they do whatever they can to put food on the table, to put clothes. What does a good father want? A good father always wants the best for their child. And so I think it's a very helpful image, a father to bring into the scribe, Jesus Christ, the Savior who's come into the world. Let's unpack this a little bit, thinking about Jesus. What does a good father want to do? Well, a good father wants to teach and instruct their children. That's what Jesus wants to do with us. We thought about this the very first week we had. What's that first description? He's a wonderful counselor. He's the person who gives the best advice. He's the best counselor. He shows us how we should live our lives. And where do we find his counsel? Where do we find his instruction? We find it in his word, that his teaching that Christ has given to us. Why? Because he wants to set us on the right path as we live godly lives following Jesus Christ. Not only does he give us great instruction, great counsel, he actually shows us. So when Jesus came into the world, he just wasn't just born and then die. He lived a life, a perfect life. He lived out his teaching. He modeled what it was like to live a godly, God-honoring life. And so he's a father who just doesn't say something and act in a different way. Some fathers are hypocrites. They say something and they expect their children to behave one way and they act completely different, but not with Jesus, because he perfectly modeled it in his life. He's a role model for his children, and that's what a good father should be. A good father provides for all their children's needs. What does Jesus do for his followers? He provides for all our spiritual needs. Everything we could need spiritually for living here on earth in this life and for the life to come, we can find in the person of Jesus Christ. You never come to him and find him wanting or lacking. He meets all of our spiritual needs. What does he tell us to do with our worries and our anxieties and our fears? Cast your cares upon him, because he will care for you and sustain you. Why? Because he's a good father. What else is he? He's patient with his children. As fathers, sometimes that's the hardest thing to be patient in different situations. But we have a Savior who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, as the scripture says. Isn't it good news for us that Jesus Christ is like a patient father? Think of the times where we have disobeyed him. Think of the times where we have wandered off, where we have turned our back on his instruction and his care and his way for our lives. And what does he do? Throw us out and cast us away? No. He's a patient God, even though we fail him many, many times. What does he promise? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even though we act in horrendous ways at times, even though we act in disobedience, he's a good father. I will never leave you. And I will never, ever forsake you. Thankfully, he's also a God who's sacrificial, a father who's sacrificial for his children. Now, fathers here, I look out here and I see a number of people who are fathers. Let me ask the fathers a question. You can answer this in your head. As a father, would you be willing to lay down your life for your children? Your child's in danger. Something's about to happen. Would you put your life on the line? Would you put your life in between them and the dangers that are coming to rescue and save them? Would you do that for your child? Jack's looking at Stephen going, what would you do in that situation? Probably. Okay. I think for the fathers here, that's a no-brainer, isn't it? Our child's in danger. Their life is on the line. If you're a good father, you wouldn't even think about it. Why? Because that's the heart of a father for the child. And even if your child is sick, how many times as parents, even as mothers as well, you'd say, I wish it was me rather than them. You would put yourself in their place. You would sacrifice yourself for the child. Now, what is the greatest ever display of sacrificial love? It's Jesus Christ. We think about it at Christmas time when he came into this world. What was the purpose? We thought about it this morning with the children when we opened up that present box and we saw the cross. Jesus came to be our Savior. That should have been us on the cross. When we come to the Lord's table shortly and we think about the suffering of Jesus Christ, that should have been us. And yet Jesus Christ laid down his life. Why? Because he loves us the way a father loves his children. He loves us in a sacrificial way that he would give his life, suffer in our place, suffer the wrath of God, suffer the separation of God so that we wouldn't have to be. And so Jesus Christ acts like a father. He acts like a perfect father for us. Praise God this evening that Jesus Christ is like a father. He is the loving, perfect example of a father. But there's another word in the description. We've thought about father here, but let's think about the word that comes before it. He's an everlasting father. At Christmas time, some of you sitting here will feel the loss of a father. You've had a good father, but he's gone. Maybe he died recently, or he died a number of years ago. Your father is no longer with you. It's difficult all the time, but sometimes at Christmas time you feel that in a difficult way. Other people here have had a father, but you rarely saw your father. Maybe he was absent from your life as you grew up. Others have elderly fathers at the moment, and as you think about it, you know that maybe you won't have long with your father because of old age or health or whatever. And that's difficult. No matter what your relationship is with our father, the time that we have with our earthly fathers is limited. It's there for a limited time in the relationship that we can experience with them. But here's what Isaiah 9 tells us about Jesus Christ. He is an everlasting father. For those who trust him, for those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, you are under his care. You're under his protection. You're under his provision. You're under his safety now and for all eternity. He never stops being a loving, perfect father for you because he's the everlasting father. He never stops caring for you. He will not abandon you. He will not walk out. He will not neglect his responsibilities. He is your father forever. Praise the Lord for that. We have an everlasting father. Now, at first glance, as we thought about this title of Jesus Christ, Everlasting Father, it might seem a confusing description. As I said at the start, how can God the Son be a father? But actually, as we've unpacked this evening, it's a very simple image for us to understand and grasp. Jesus Christ, if he is our Savior, treats us like a good father. Jesus Christ cares for us, provides for us, sacrifices his life the way a perfect father would do it for us. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, can I say, as I've unpacked that and described what Jesus is like, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, as an everlasting father in your life, you are really, really missing out. You're missing out on his love. You're missing out on his care and his direction. You're missing out on the one who was willing to lay down his life for you. And so what I would say to you this Christmas season, come to Jesus. Come to one who is a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, who wants to bring all these spiritual blessings into your life and trust him as your Lord and Savior and experience the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and your everlasting Father as well. And if you are a Christian here this evening, as many of you are, I think it's always important to remind yourself exactly who Jesus is. Sometimes we're very narrow in our descriptions of Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. He's the one who rescues me. And so I've got my ticket stamped for heaven, and one day I'm going there, and that's all Jesus is for you. He's like your insurance policy who will get you to heaven. But actually there is so much daily blessing that Jesus Christ can bring into our lives. He is the everlasting Father. And because he's a good Father, he wants to be involved in our lives. And he wants to be involved in our lives on a daily basis. That's what a good father wants to do. A good father doesn't want to just see his children at the weekends. Now, sometimes because of marriage circumstances, whatever, some fathers, even good fathers, can have limited access to their children. But Jesus Christ wants to be involved in their lives on a daily basis. And the decision on his involvement in their lives doesn't fall with him. It actually falls with us. You may be a believer, but don't shut Jesus Christ out of your lives. Don't keep Jesus Christ for Sundays only, when you come into church and that's the only thought or the time your mind shifts to Jesus Christ. Don't treat your everlasting Father like some sort of distant relative that you only turn to occasionally, you only speak to occasionally, and you only have involvement with occasionally. Because if that's the way you treat your everlasting Father, like a distant relative, you are really missing out in all that he wants to do spiritually in your life. Your Savior is an everlasting Father. Make sure you're enjoying and experiencing that special relationship with him, that wonderful relationship you can know with Jesus Christ, and you're experiencing it on a daily basis. Don't switch off spiritually when you walk out the door of this church tonight. But make it a daily priority to be spending time with Christ. You read his word, as you pray without ceasing, it's a constant part of your days. As you go through those spiritual disciplines, why? Because you want to tick a box? No. Because you want to have a real, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ, your Savior, your everlasting Father. Make a relationship with Jesus Christ a priority in your lives. And maybe you've wandered away from that. You've wandered away and you realize there's a distance in this relationship. And if there's a distance, who's moved? Is the everlasting Father has wandered away from you? Or have you drifted spiritually from him? And if that is the situation, we'll come back to the Father. I love that image, the prodigal son. But the prodigal wanders off, and then he realizes his sin, and it is always sin that breaks the relationship. And what does he do? As he comes back, is the father waiting, tutting, with criticism of the son? No. He runs with open arms. And so this evening, in a good way, even prepare yourself to come to the Lord's table, run to his open arms. And pray, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as the everlasting Father in my life. Let's pray as we think about it.